Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Bronstein, how are you doing this wonderful, beautiful morning?
It is?
Yeah, it is.
It's a nice fall day out there.
Yeah, and you know what today is?
What?
It's my sainted mother's 94th birthday today.
Oh, happy 94. Birthday. Happy birthday
Vincenzo
to
Rosati. Yeah,
definitely.
Bronstein.
Is she listening today?
Well, listening is an interesting thing.
No.
She thinks she's listening. But,
okay.
She thinks I'm the best of all the three of us, so...
I have no comment.
Are you shocked?
It is Saturday, October 20th, 2018. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then we'll be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday, live streaming from 10 to 11 at our website, sapperston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. Most devices that connect to the internet should be able to pick up the show there. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay it, you can catch the show in the archive section on the website. And finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yeah, it's up usually early in the afternoon on Friday. And interesting one, so much stuff going on. That's an economic term, stuff going on this week. And I think the big interesting one is the weakness in the housing sector, which we've talked about for a while with interest rates going up. And, you know, it has stopped people from purchasing houses, and some people. And it's a slowdown. People get nervous when rates go up. So, and also interesting, there's a number of discussions with some of the Fed board members saying that there's no need to raise interest rates further. And I don't see it. I would wish they wouldn't. But again, our president is out there, you know, giving his opinion, and people might think that he's trying to sway them, but he's given his opinion. He doesn't control them. And I think Jake Powell will do a good job. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, after all of that, go to the website, sapperston.com, get the free economic report. And, you know, right now we are a live talk show and caller-driven show. Give us a call, 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you're going to use that 803-1520 from out of town, the area code is 716. Phone lines are wide open, so give us a call. Also, you know, we do really like to talk to people, but if you don't want to talk to us for some reason, and
we understand,
you know, some people don't want to get on the radio, really, right. You know, and you can go to our website again, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming pops up. Hit live streaming. When you get that page, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box down on the bottom. You can type in a question or type in a symbol. And if you do type in a symbol, let us know whether you want to buy it, you're looking to sell it, or you're just holding it and just want an opinion on it.
And we have somebody who's
And we asking. Do have somebody in the chat box.
So
very
Bill
good.
Is asking about HCA, which closed at 133.71. And then TJX. He gave us a third symbol, and I chatted back that I don't recognize it. So
you didn't recognize it? What was it?
SRZ.
Okay.
So he may have just clicked the wrong button.
Could be. I got to remember to stay by the mic when I'm going over here. But anyway.
He's such a rookie.
Could be STZ, maybe.
Well, let's do HCA and TGX.
We'll do HCA.
Let him come back so we don't need to guess these things.
Did he say whether he owns them?
It says buy.
Oh, my God.
Buy.
Another one, HCA, that's risen from what?
Looks like the depths of lowness.
Well, actually, last year it was 70. Now it's what?
133.71. I call that a double.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
It's good enough, close enough for all practical purposes.
Government work.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know the risk if the market heads south or further south. You know, most stocks will get hit, and especially those that have gone up a lot, which this obviously has. So you recognize the risk there. Second of all, I mean, it looks good at the moment. You know, it's got, let me see what the price objective is.
$1.6
billion. Yeah, it's already met its price objective based on the point and figure chart. So, you know, but right now it would give a new buy signal if it went to 142 and with a potential stop at 130.
And not bad.
No, it's not bad, really. But the 200-day is at 110, which is quite a ways back. So for a long-term holder, that's a ways back. So there are 50 days.
So he's asking, are you going to buy it here or what?
Well, I'm saying you got to recognize the risk is high for any stock that's had a big run this year, right?
Okay. Just trying
to
explain.
So you got
to
recognize that,
right? I know what you're talking about.
And it depends on what kind of investor he is. Is he a long-term investor? Is he a trader? You know, a trader could buy this, you know, right now and just stop it at 130 and say, oh, okay, I'm wrong at 130. You know, anybody else, if they're a long-term investor, you know, would be looking at 110 as long as it stays above 110. So, I mean, I'd prefer to buy it on a further pullback, mm-hmm. but you could buy half of it. And if it comes down, you know, lower, and you avoid the short term sell, and there's a lot of support down in the 110 area.
Got it.
So you got you got long term risk down the 110, depending on what the market does.
Okay, and then he's also asking about TJX, which is they own TJ Maxx and a number of other retail stores, right, Pete?
Okay. Yeah.
107.26 on the close.
You're kidding me.
Why?
Another one. See, you got to watch yourself when you're chasing stocks that have gone up unbelievably.
Yeah.
Look at this thing. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's another retailer that was dead, right?
Right. Yeah, I know.
5-6 months ago, forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, so this thing's gone unbelievable vertical. And, you know, the 200 days back at 91.
Mm-hmm.
And where to close at?
107.26.
Yeah, so if you're a long-term investor, you know, you got risk down to that 91 area to 200-day. And let me take a look at a different chart on that right now. Okay, we'll go to another website, hopefully quickly.
Right, because we have to get to the caller because our producer is going to make a little exit in about 3-4 minutes.
So. Okay. So
yeah, just so you know, we got time to finish TJX, but...
Well, maybe not. But anyway,
we do.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Like I say, the long term thing. You know, I've given that number. You know, so Yeah, TJX, you know, gapped. I'd say as long as it holds the gap, which was right around 104, you know, it looks good, you know, at that point in time. So yeah. if you want to take the risk down to 104, it's okay. Okay, right now we're going to go to Zach in Rhode Island.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Okay. How'd you find us?
Good. Oh, online. I stream. And actually, the first time I think I ever heard you guys was late at night, about 1 in the morning. I had my little radio on, and I picked up Buffalo.
There you go, yeah.
Beautiful,
all the way from Rhode Island.
Unbelievable.
I love listening to Stock Talk.
Great. Right, appreciate that very much.
I have CNBC on all day long and that whole bit.
Well, it's okay.
The reason I'm calling, I'm at a crossroads in my philosophy with investing. I've always been a stock investor. I have been for over 20 years. Sometimes I trade weekly. Sometimes I'll hold long term. But right now, I like investing in tech stocks. They move. They have momentum.
Oh, yeah.
But what happens is every earning period, I panic. Because these things, if they don't hit, you're going to lose.
Very definitely, yeah.
And, well, for example, the other day, I had PayPal. I had it planned for long term, and I heard the earnings report was coming in Thursday. And I said, if this thing misses, this thing's going to go down like a submarine.
Like a rock in water,
so,
right?
Yeah. So I sold it. And what did it do, of course? Right. If you watch, yeah, it went through the roof.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, they did extremely well. And there I was, you know, holding my kneecaps and, you know, saying, gee whiz, you know, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
You know,
well, you're not in
the earning period with these tech stocks and high momentum stocks.
Right.
So my philosophy, to make it quick, is I'm tended to go towards ETFs where they don't get banked so much.
It's a good point. You know, we do a lot of that, you know, in our managed programs for the same reason, right? That that you don't take the individual stock risk. So you know, if that makes you more comfortable. See, here's part of your problem. You're two types of trade. You're a trader and an investor, all right?
Yeah.
And you have to decide, do you still want to be both, you know, if you're going to do stocks or, you know, trying to be both's a problem. You know, like if you bought PayPal for an investment, okay, a long-term investor, and you've got, you know, a big profit in it, you shouldn't be worried about earnings, okay? But as a trader, yeah, I mean, a trader would get out ahead of earnings.
But, you know, I had a stock like CVS. I figured, oh, that's not a tech stock. It's not a big swing momentum stock. And then all of a sudden, one day, Amazon came out and said they were going to start doing prescriptions. So there goes CVS.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I agree totally. I mean, you know, like I say, we tend to use ETFs in our managed programs, you know, because of that. All right. You know, you don't want to find yourself picking a stock or a couple of stocks that just get trounced, you know, when news comes out. And if it makes you more comfortable, you know, and I can see that you're becoming uncomfortable, that might that might be a better way for you to go. No question about it.
Yeah. I was just wondering because I hear people slamming ETFs on TV.
Oh, no. I mean, you know
what I mean?
Well, it depends why you're buying them.
Yeah.
And you've got to be aware of what's inside of them. And, you know, is it a double or a triple or, you know, is it leveraged?
Oh, yeah. No.
You got to do the work.
I mean, like if you're going to buy an ETF, always check the holdings, you know. Because you want to make sure they're not overweighted in one or two stocks,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Happens.
But as long as you're doing the research, you're checking into it, it's a good way to go to make you sleep a little better.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your input.
Okay.
It made me feel a little better.
Okay.
Well, you're not alone.
I don't get to talk with many people, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay, right now we're going to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Jack. How are you doing?
Yeah, listen, Dave, I have you beat. My mother just turned 98 in June.
Oh, there you go. Boy, I'll tell you.
God prepares her own meals, I tell you.
Yeah.
You're both lucky you have good genes there.
Yeah, certainly.
There's a company I want you to tell you what you think. It's Dominion Energy. I've been following it the last few weeks. Even with the downturns, it's been coming for most of the stocks. This one seems to be doing well. Even a lot of other companies are down, this one continues to go up. So it pays a nice dividend. And what do you think about purchasing that?
Well, I mean, the interesting part about it is that what is this, an electric utility?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
73.50.
I mean, and obviously utilities tend to be under pressure and rising interest rates, you know, so that's a problem. You know, looking at it, the 200-day moving average is what, at 69?
Yeah, almost 70. 70, yeah.
Almost 70. Mm-hmm. And the stocks right now, we're at 73.
Right.
So that's bullish that it's above the 200-day, okay? And, you know, theoretically, for what it's worth, the price objective on the point and figure chart's 85, which would put it up, you know, to the high of the year again. So, you know, you're taking the interest rate risk, but and you've probably looked into the fundamentals on the company. I can't remember what they use as a source of energy and so forth, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, it could make that run to the 85 area. And I don't, you know, I'd be a little concerned if it dropped under that, you know, 70 area, because then the long-term trend could be turning down. So your risk is first down to, you know, maybe 70, and then below that it would be, 69, 70 should be good support. And if it dropped below that, you're at risk to 62.
Yeah, and J.P. Morgan on the 9th of October increased their rating from neutral to overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as interest rates, and you and I have talked about this over the years, as long as interest rates go up gradually and they're not going up every single month, that, you know, interest-sensitive securities can adjust, or the market adjusts for them. So that's why I think this one has done well. I mean, this is not a growth vehicle by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, the stock was below 62 in June, and, you know, now it's up 10 points. So I think there was a lot of fear about interest rates going up dramatically. And I think as the economy is doing well, but, you know, the Fed's talking that they may not, well, they're not, certain people within the Fed are talking that they interest rates may not be raised in December. It's now called penciled in as opposed to using ink, that maybe the utilities and bonds will be okay.
Or, you know, it could be like a stock picker's market, and this is one utility that, you know, will do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at the daily bar chart. That looks good, too. So, yeah, I think it's worth a shot.
Okay. Yeah, it hasn't been a tremendous rise, but a steady rise, nice steady rise.
Yeah, that's exactly.
A nice dividend.
4.5%.
So, yeah, 4.5% dividend. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, okay, thank you so much, guys.
Okay,
all right,
you're
good
welcome.
Talking to you.
Okay. Did I miss a symbol for somebody, or
no? I think
he had the wrong symbol. You said,
yeah. Oh, so why don't you, if you want to try STZ, that's Constellation Brands, which maybe person, STZ. It looks like that's the one we're possibly.
Yeah, that's the one that's got that big investment in marijuana stock. I think I saw something in Barron's over the weekend that I think the CEO's leaving or something.
Yeah, there's in some of the companies, usually when that happens, it's negative, but there's a number of them that when they're there, it's working out well. Stock close at 222.93.
Yeah.
Big beverage. They own a number of different wines and beers, I believe.
Yeah, because normally, you know, the main sector they've been in for all these years is kind of a defensive area, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the market's a little shaky, you know, it tends to do better. You know, right now it's really in a big trading range, I'd say between 200 and maybe 235, somewhere in that area, you know. So you have that trading range. You got the risk down to 200. And if I'm looking at, you know, hopefully this is the stock he was talking about. But anyway, going back to another website here real quick.
Yeah, and just locally, this is a Victor, New York, outside of Rochester. That's our headquarters, this company. It used to be called Canandaigua Wines, Pete,
going Yeah, I think back. You're right, way yeah. back, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just gave a buy signal, believe it or not, you know, with a potential target for what it's worth, you know, and we always say do your own research, look into it very carefully, but, you know, potential target looks like it's 288 on it, which is nice.
Yeah, and I think the 200 day is 220, right?
Yeah, and it's at the, just a little, right, a little above the 200
day? Yeah, 223.
So I like it went back above that 200 day. And, you know, sometimes when it goes to the 200 day or slightly below it, it can be a buy. And, you know, I'd only become a little concerned, you know, maybe if it dropped to 198 or so. So it looks interesting here, you know, and definitely in a shaky market, it could continue to be interesting with the defensive portions of it. And I think, you know, a lot of marijuana stocks, I think, got hit in the last week. You know, once it became legal in Canada.
They were taking a hit, you said?
Right.
Whatever
okay,
that
whatever that means. But anyway.
But they have, if you go on their website and look, I mean, they own Corona, Modelo.
They bought up the whole world.
Yeah, they own a lot.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it looks interesting here. So if you look into it, you know, make sure you've done your own research, and looks pretty interesting. So right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And, you know, our area code is 716, and phone lines are wide open. Very easy to get in right now. So anyway, you mentioned earlier about the housing thing. They had a big article about that in this week's Barron's.
You know, you would think I would. How many times
you must have read
something?
It? So no, you're making believe.
I don't think I've ever read Barron's in my life. To be honest,
I can't believe it. Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, believe it. What can I do?
But you know, they mentioned a lot of reasons for it. You know, but they said that. Right now, you would think with the millennials and so forth and so on, and the economy good, you know, housing would be good. Certainly, interest rates have hurt, but they said the affordability of houses is the lowest it's been in a heck of a long time. You know,
that's because millennials are making $25,000-$30,000 coming out of college, and they can't afford a house. So, I mean, if you've looked at, Pete, I know you own, I own, I don't know what rents really are, but when I read about some of these lofts in the newer places, you're talking, in Buffalo, you're talking $1,000 to $1,500 a month to rent these places.
Well, it's kind of funny because
Does it say that?
Yeah. Well, no, one of the persons in the article says affordability is dropping to where it was around the turn of the century. And I'm thinking, what the heck's the turn of the century? But that was 2000.
Oh, is that? Oh, I was thinking 1900.
Yeah, I was thinking 1900, too. I look at the turn of the century.
Oh.
He said that was before the lowering of lending standards set off the never-to-be-repeated housing boom and financial crisis. So affordability is a big problem, you know, and it certainly hurt the housing area. Right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, area code 716. Toll free, 800-879-7541. Or go to our webpage, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click the Dollar Doctor tab, hit live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a question or put in a symbol and let us know if you put in the symbol, you're looking to buy, looking to sell, or just want an opinion on the stock. And, you know, very easy if you for some reason you don't want to make the call or can't make the call. But we do like to talk to people on the phone. We'll go next to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Nice hearing your voice on the phone.
Good to hear yours.
I got two stocks mainly I'm interested in. But before I ask about that, there was a stock that showed up on CNBC. It went from $1.50 to $10.50. And it was some kind of pharmaceutical stock. I wasn't sure whether, you know, it's one of these things that jumps way up if they find, get something approved or they find some activity in it. But it was an oddball. It began with a T, and I didn't write it down.
Well, that's not a big clue. But anyway, go ahead.
No, no. Okay. First stock is Pacific Gas and Electric. Now, I've been holding this for at least 15 years, and it's been paying a nice dividend. It pays about $2.12 per share. But this past year, for 2018, they dropped the dividend because of potential problems and liability with the wildfires. Mm-hmm. California was saying they had to pay for anything. Now, the price did go up 61 cents, 48.85, and it's been as low as 37 and as high as, I guess, about 70 almost. What do you think that there's less risk if that tends to creep up?
As we always know, there's always risk.
And the 52-week high, Art, on this one is about $58.
Right.
That's the last 52 weeks.
But the interesting thing, once again, you got a utility, symbols PCG.
Right.
And it just gave an important buy signal, right. which is amazing. I don't know if that's as a result of people just wanting to be defensive, over the last week with the market, being very volatile, So,
right. I think it's the same as D. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
Interest rates are going up gradually, it looks like. Yeah,
and for what it's worth, and this is really for what it's worth, the profit objective on the point and figure chart, which you take with a grain of salt, is 69,
Right.
But it gave a nice buy signal, really. It just broke out of a nice basing pattern that's been going on since the end of last year.
Right.
So, looking at that, in the 200 days, we're at 40, I think I
44, 40, 43,
79, yeah, somewhere around there.
And, what's the matter? Your eyes aren't good? Between you and I, we're in trouble.
We don't want to talk about my cataracts.
we have trouble seeing.
Yeah, and, the 200-day right now, is 43.76, mm-hmm. and the last price was, 48?
Yeah, 48.85.
Yeah. So you're above the 200-day.
Yeah.
Looks good right now, surprisingly.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, if they ever reinstate the dividend, that would help bring it up to, its 52-week high or even higher. So.
Yeah, well, it's amazing that having, done that with the dividend, the stock's acting very well.
Yeah, since August, there's been 5 upgrades in the stock, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's probably, because 37, I think, was the 52-week low.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, 37.30.
Yep.
37.30. I'm looking at my little Android here thing. second one is one I've owned since I've been born, was IMU, and I see it went up $1.25 to $23.95. Now, is that thing
coming back to life again?
To,
the only problem with it, although I'm, I see it went up on Friday. All right. And
is that $1.25 up?
The other thing, what's kind of impressive about that is the fact that biotechs got really slammed on Friday.
Right.
And the biotech index was down about 2.5% on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this went up against it. So that's a good sign. It's got very strong resistance, 26 to 27.
Right.
So you need to take out that area,
That's the resistance above it?
Yeah, resistance above it. Yeah. It's 26, 27. The 200 days back at 20, and it's come down to there and bounced off it, which is another good sign. So
Sure. I looked somewhere on the Internet, and I was looking up under IMU, and it seems that it's 87% held by institutions, and that there were about 4 or 5 major brokerages that either went to buy or moved it up from wherever they had it to strong buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that has some influence.
Contrarians would say, when the institutions own too much, be wary. Because
I'm thinking if Fidelity or Vanguard are buying this, or BlackRock.
But what happens if they own 87% and something comes out, they dump.
Oh, bad news.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so, that's a two-edged sword, when they have that big a position. You ideally want to catch stocks that have relatively low institutional ownership, and it's been moving up, steadily. Right. That's the time to catch the stocks. But anyway.
Sure.
That's a two-edged sword, no question about that.
And sometimes
when too many firms are hot on a stock, that's a problem.
Yes.
But the chart looks decent, and you got that strong resistance, 26 to 27, gets above that, it could make a nice run.
Very good. Just as an aside, on PBS over the last three nights, they had a program about New England for the autumn. I would recommend it heavily. It's got three one-hour shows, and it shows the animals, the coloration, and
I can imagine. It's beautiful. Yeah.
New England.
The
states in New England. So
yep.
If you want to see that, just for the...
That's great. We appreciate that.
Okay.
Nice talking to you. Have a nice weekend.
Right. You too.
Bye. And if, Don will wait 1 minute, we'll take a quick break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Don in Hamburg. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Don.
Hi. I just came across this stock. It's called Guardian Health. Just came public.
New issue, okay.
New issue, October 9th.
Yeah, right.
$19 a share came out at. Presently it's at 35, but it went up to 44, I think, 43.
What's the symbol?
44.
GH is the symbol on it, Guardian Health.
GH. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard about it or read anything about it.
No, not really, although I thought I read something about it, which wasn't overly great. I can't remember what it was.
Well, what they have developed is a blood test that replaces or enhances when they do biopsies.
Mm-hmm.
Like lung biopsies, they're able to detect twice the amount of abnormal tissue growth or cancerous areas using this blood test. And, I bought 200 shares, 32, and, I mean, it's early, and then they have, like, three or four different tests that they have that one is for the people who have already have advanced cancers, and they really can't do a biopsy because of certain reasons, and this thing seems to be working terrific. And from the share price, I mean, you would think that, they must have something going for them. But I know it's early. I usually kind of stay away from these.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the more I read about it, the more I, the more I said, geez.
So I mean, the concept, that's why it shot up like that is exciting, okay?
Yeah.
But I thought I read that there's a lot of big companies competing in the same area,
Okay.
So
The thing that scared me away from buying more at the time and taking a little position is the volume.
Mm-hmm.
The volume is so small, you check it in the morning, there's 300,000 shares traded, and the volume Friday was 700,000 shares, and that's nothing. If somebody sells a big block, it goes down 10 points.
Exactly, makes it more volatile, that's for sure.
I think the day range on that stock Friday was 35 to 43.
Mm-hmm, yep.
When I looked at it in the morning, it was up like $3.50. And then when I looked at the close, it was down $4. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's something that they seem to be the first one out with this. It's a they're using it, from what the company's website said, that a lot of hospitals or doctors or oncologists are using this. So take a look at it a little further.
Yeah.
I usually don't, but this one just struck me like if they're getting twice the results, you know, I mean.
It's very intriguing. And you know, the only thing I noticed on this for 3 days in a row, there's been very strong rejection at the 44 area.
Right, right. Yeah. But it just came public on the 9th.
Yeah.
I mean, you're more than a double, you know, I mean.
Oh, I agree. That's what I mean. But it seems like these people are pretty big sellers in that 44 area, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The thing that's, struck me, too, I mean, the low volume is like, if this is such a great thing, there'd be millions of shares traded, you know.
Well, you get companies like this that are one-trick ponies. You got to look at what they have in the pipeline. That's the next thing.
Right.
Okay, you know what you got here. But my question is, what are you reading? Where are you finding these articles and the sources?
Yeah.
And because, you know, we all know about the fake articles that are put on Facebook and all these other things. You got to be careful who's, you know, what you're reading and who's writing it. Is it a sponsored, you know, is it one of the companies in the underwriting group and are they writing it? Or I'm not saying they're false, but I think we all get excited.
Yeah, there is a risk, but, you know, I agree.
Well,
you always have to be aware of that. But
yeah, you got to do a lot of research.
Yeah. And I don't know how many shares they issued, you know. I'd look into that, but, you know.
I think 85 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which is not really a lot of shares, you know, so these days. But, you know.
It was,
yeah. So that explains part of it. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
hey.
It says 14 million. Oh, hold on. Let's see. Yeah, 14 million. I've got the article in front of me.
Oh, so they only issued 14 million shares?
14 million shares.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Common stock, and another 1.87 million was purchased by the underwriters.
Yeah, boy, that's not a lot of shares.
16 million. So, I mean, you can have...
They initially put out 12.5 million shares, priced at 19.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out at 15 to 17. They raised 237 million. It's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to watch it.
Take a look at it,
yep.
See what you think.
Okay.
But keep it under the, read up a little bit more on it. You guys got more sources than I have.
Okay. We appreciate it.
The other thing is the oils.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudi thing, you know, everybody's thinking they're going to do something against the Saudis, which I doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And the oil prices are kind of telling you that nothing's going to really happen out of that. They're doing their own investigation.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're saying he's dead. They're saying it was a fight.
They've arrested 18 people.
Yeah,
you know,
somebody
so
close
so
to
on,
the
you
assistant
know.
In charge of.
But, whatever. It's interesting. They had an article in Barron's, and they said it's not just the oil. They said there's big financial interrelationships around the world, that the Saudis have been investing tons of money in different areas, okay?
And, yeah, I know they've been in that sovereign fund.
Exactly, it was interesting. All the things they're in and supplying money to, and they're just involved. There's all these little entanglements, you know, which makes it even more interesting.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to mention is I own 100 shares of Square.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a lot more, but I sold it a lot higher.
Good.
But I like the company,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I held 100. But... PayPal came up
mm-hmm.
with great earnings. They do about the same thing. Well, not more
really.
Or less, but their Venmo thing is the same. But the thing that got me is I went into McDonald's and I look at what they use,
mm-hmm.
and it's Verifone.
Hmm.
And they're a privately held company. They were taken private a couple years ago. And then I went into Tops, and they're using the same thing.
Hmm.
And then I went to my doctor's office, and they're using Verifone for, you know, your credit card thing.
Interesting.
So it's like, you know, I mean, Square is a big thing for merchants, and I've seen a lot of people use that. But how does PayPal do anything besides, you know, if you bought something off of eBay, you'd go through their website.
Well, I mean, you know, I use it all the time online. You know,
PayPal. Yeah, I can only tell you that they.
But it's a lot easier. In other words, you got your credit cards there. Right. You click, boom, boom, done.
And just as a disclosure, I had an issue with a buying something online, and I received something that was not close to what it was supposed to be. They not only immediately paid me back the just under $100 I paid, but I also, it cost me $48 to ship it back to Singapore. They reimbursed that, and they're just a wonderful company. Square, I had somebody come out and do some work clearing out a water line, plumbing company, and I said, will you take a debit card? And they said, yeah, we'll call it into the office. I said, well, don't you have the mobile device Square? Said, well, you know, first of all, they only allow you to do 5 transactions over $150 a month, and they charge you $45 a phone per month for insurance. So it's an expensive product if they're using the mobile device. I didn't realize that. Now, if you're selling artwork, you know, at an art gallery or at an art show, right, and you're, you know, not going over $150, you can use it. So there are some limitations to Square. But that Verifone, I know going to Tops, those are old devices too. Tops.
I know, but
those are archaic, yeah.
McDonald's has them.
Yeah.
I mean, every McDonald's.
I eat so healthy.
Has.
I don't go to McDonald's unless my grandchildren
force me. Well, I mean, I go there sometimes on Sunday morning.
No, I understand.
My wife wants to sleep in, so
yeah.
I just go. But
good idea.
Nothing like an egg McMuffin.
It's amazing that I'm looking for this company, and I find out it was taken private a couple years ago because they were out too early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're in Tops. They're in McDonald's. I mean. The doctor's office has them. Yeah, they look like older machines, but not the ones at McDonald's.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's McDonald's nationally or internationally or just in Western New York.
Well, if you look at Square longer term, the 200-day moving average is around 61.
So it's above that at 74.
I like
Square.
But anyway, as long as it stays above the 200-day, you're willing to take that risk.
Yeah, for the 100 shares, because I mean, they reacted pretty positively with PayPal's earnings, and then at the end of the day, they sold off. I think everything sold off.
Oh, well, yeah. It was an unpleasant day,
I noticed that because I, closed everything out like 1 o'clock, and then I went out and did something, and you can't sit in front of the TV all day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My wife yells the hell out of me.
No. And if you watch things too closely, it leads you to make a lot of mistakes.
That's definitely for sure.
Yep.
But big earnings week this week, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Any predictions?
Not really.
There'll be some surprises.
You know, what is intriguing is the S&P is sitting on its 200-day.
Yeah.
The Dow's above it, and the Nasdaq went below it, you know.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. This is a critical time now, to buy. But as I told somebody else who called, was a little worried, I said, typically you make a bottom in October, just a question of where it is, but.
I'll leave you this one. I was watching a guy on TV yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he says that after the election, the market has gone up in the third year of the presidency, like, forever.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't happen just one time.
No.
Over the last 60 years or what, he says it's almost a lock.
Well.
Now until the end of the year. But, I mean, everything can change.
Yeah.
But it only happened like in 39 or something like that, the market didn't go
and
up.
And that was wartime there.
Right. It was when
the Nazis
invaded Poland or something like that. And that. So I thought that was pretty interesting at the time. So I think if we can get through the election and everything is kind of gridlocked.
Say the odds are in your favor, but nothing's a lock, right?
Well, nothing's a lock.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, everybody's pretty scared right now.
Right. And,
prices of a lot of stocks are coming down.
Right.
So you got to kind of pick the ones you really like. NVIDIA, I mean, it's gone from 290 to 230.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed with it?
Yeah, exactly.
The hype.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay, well,
thanks,
appreciate
Don.
The
Have
call.
A good
Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Phone lines wide open again. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to the chat box now.
Yes. Okay. A question on NYCB, which is New York Community Bank Corp, $9.81.
Is that where it is? Boy.
It looks terrible.
It's done terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
God. It's 45
degrees.
Was he
looking
down
to buy it or something? Do you know?
I can't remember. Well, so long ago,
I left it way behind. I mean, it looks
he or she owns it and considering buying, apparently more.
Buying more? What's the yield on this right now? 6.93, am I reading right? Yeah.
I don't know, I'm trying to do something else.
Yeah, I think it's 6.93 yield.
Yes, sir, that is correct. 6.93.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the problems are with the bank. I remember a long time ago they were going to be buying Astoria. I don't know if they did or that deal fell apart. You know, I know we had this in our portfolios a long time ago and got rid of it quite a while ago. But I'd say the risk to the stock is probably down to the $8 area, $8.50. And where are you trading right now?
981.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as you're willing to take that risk. Some people, they just buy stocks for the dividend. They don't care where they go to. You know, years ago, I mentioned to some woman, you know, she was at one of our seminars when we did the seminars, and I said,
Of the century?
Yeah, yeah, the turn of the century. And anyway, you know, I said, well, that, you know, looks terrible. And she says, well, you know, I get a great dividend and I'm happy for the dividend. I said, well, what happened if the stock dropped 50%? She said, I don't care as long as I get the dividend. Yeah. And there's a lot of dividend buyers who don't care, you know.
Yeah, well,
they figure it'll eventually come back. So you got the risk down to that 8.5. It's not that much further. So if you're a person like that who's got that approach to dividends, you know where your risk is.
Yeah, at the end of August, Credit Suisse resumed coverage with a neutral rating, mm-hmm. $12 target. And beginning of the year, you had Bank of America going from neutral to buy with no target. And so maybe so people are starting to get back in.
It could be. And like I say, you know, you're much closer to a many-year bottom than you are to a many-year high.
The 200-day, though, is at 12, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so which it could go back to. You know, it's a possibility. So you know, if that's your approach to dividend stocks, it may not be a bad idea for you, you know.
Yeah.
And make sure you do your own research into looking into what's going on with that bank.
Good idea. We have another question on the chat box. Tom is asking your take on the weak semiconductor sector. He owns MU, Micron, and is thinking about selling. What do you think, Peter?
What do I think?
He asked.
Well, all tech has been hit pretty badly. And looking at it right now, I'm sure it's way under its 200-day. So.
Yeah, close to 40, 45.
Yeah, 200 days, what, at 50? So certainly has to get it back. I would say if you're looking to sell it and you're still hanging on, the absolute get-out point is 37.
Okay.
Between 37 and 38. You know, so if you're willing to hold to that, you could take a chance that maybe it's going to rebound because on a point and figure chart, it's on its long-term uptrend line. So this is a critical area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're willing to hold and then you have to get out at, you know, that level around 47 or so. Not 47. What is it? 37? 37, 38. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go next to, what is it, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Dan.
Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on the healthcare providers. I currently have CNC, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on them as a group.
Well, the group has been very strong, to say the least.
So you think they still look okay?
Yeah, because I think, number one, it can be considered a defensive area.
Okay.
You know, so certainly in a volatile environment now in the market and people getting nervous, could be a good area. What was the one you own right now?
CNC.
CNC, yeah. I think it's about 142 right now.
142.78.
I mean, I know what you're saying in a sense. I'm sure it's up a lot.
Yeah. You
know? And, you know, you're looking at this stock back in 2016 was what, in the 20-something area, 20, around 20, right?
Yeah, no dividend either.
Yeah, and now it's what, 140 something, you said?
142.78.
Yeah. But the sector, you know, could be a good area defensively. You got the risk that it's moved up so much that eventually if you get a big tank in the market, you know, it could take anything down, right? But, you know, the 200 days at 121, I don't know what price you have it at. You know.
Yeah, about around the 120 mark, yeah.
Yeah. So I think as long as it stays above that, you know, you're okay. You'd get a short-term sell at 138.
138?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And definitely...
Well, United Healthcare also seems to be holding up well.
Yeah, well, that whole group, you know, looks very strong at the moment, yeah.
So I'm thinking if this one gets shaky, I thought, you know what, maybe I'll look at United Healthcare because that one seems to be a little more stable.
Mm-hmm.
In that group, anyway.
What's the symbol on that?
UNH.
UNH, yeah, that's what I hit.
Close at 265.30. I would stay with the big ones in these because it's getting very competitive.
So you're saying, David, UNH over a CNC?
Well, yeah, I don't like to pick. I personally, and for clients, I don't like the healthcare industry, so I wouldn't buy either of them. But
really?
That's
Why
just
that?
Me. I'm sorry?
Why is that?
Because I just don't like it, and I don't know what's going to happen down the road with the government control of it.
Yeah.
And that's just me.
But anyway, you know, United Health.
That's a valid point. I think about the same thing. Anything the government's got its hands in, you got to watch.
Yeah, it's no question. But you know, hey, there's risks all over the place. You know, no question about it. You know, and the 200-day moving average is at 245. You know.
Okay. All right. But, you know, that's another one, man. If you bought that one 20, 30 years ago, I mean, you'd be...
Well, not even 20, 30 years ago. I mean, 2015, it was at 35.
Oh, my goodness. United
there you
Healthcare?
Go.
What? United Healthcare?
Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yep.
But I think the United Healthcare tanked a few years back. I can't remember. They had an issue.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
I don't know if it was CEO or something was going on with them.
They all, you know... Companies always run into difficulties, you know, no matter how great the company supposedly is, you know.
Another one I wanted to just bring up, it's been holding up fairly well relative to everything else, is Apple.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Apple at this point?
Macintosh myself, but no.
Well, it was interesting. You know, Barron's did an article in the FANG stocks, and they said that, you know, they did a number of different criteria, and they said Apple's one of the best for lowest risk.
Maybe that's why
it's
sold up then.
Yeah. So
a lot of money too, a lot of cash.
Yeah, and I think that was 200 days. Where at 190? Yeah, 190. So you know, as long as it's above the 190 area.
190.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there any other area where it has very strong support, Peter?
Any above other
that?
Area
doesn't drop down to that point.
Well, the big support would be way back at 180.
Okay, yeah. But I'm saying something a little more closer.
Oh, closer to that.
I mean,
okay.
I don't know if it'll go down to 190.
Well,
any other supports between that current price and 190? Any good, really good supports?
Let me take a quick look at it there. Probably closer to 205, right in that area. Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good
25,
one.
25, 210,
eye on.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one to keep a close eye on.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like you said, the other ones seem to be weakening, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think part of that has to do with just, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, the PEs are just outrageous on those.
No question about it. And you know what happens in a questionable, shaky market, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what's really going on is, you know, people are just, you know...
Getting a little nervous.
Reality's kind of, you know... reality's kind of setting in on these things, right?
Definitely.
I mean, why am I paying 200 times earnings for something that's growing at 20 times?
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly, yeah.
I think that's just basically what's happening. You know, at a certain point in time, reality sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, guys, great show as usual.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to go quick next to Ed in Amherst. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter and David.
Condolences on those Giants.
Silence.
Hey, I got a little biotech stock I've been watching. They just got fast-track status to replace opioid problems for pain medication.
Mm-hmm.
BTGN, Vistagen. take a look at it the last few weeks, a chart of it. It's been
Been going straight up. Yeah, I mean, the daily chart looks very nice. Now, let me look real quick, hopefully. VTGN.
I can't find it.
You can now.
Boy, Tom, George.
No, it's VTGN.
V. No wonder I can't find it. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you're coming up to resistance right now in what, about the two and a half area?
$2.20.
And it's got a lot of resistance up in the three area. So, you know, it would only give a buy signal if it went to 275, you know.
275, huh?
Yep.
Well, do you have a price target on that? For what?
Well, there isn't any right now because it's bearish. You know, it's in a long-term downtrend, you know.
Okay. Okay, great show, guys.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Pete,
okay.
Do you want to talk for a second about, you know, the S&P closing at just under 2768? A lot of talk that that's the big
That's the 200-day moving average.
And it's happened like 3-4 days if you look at Friday.
Well, the only thing that concerns you is this is the fourth time down.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So
what does that mean?
There used to be a thing that, you know, the fourth time down's the kiss of death, you know, but who knows, you know, and you know what really works out.
Right, but that's what they're talking about.
I mean, the NASDAQ is below the 200 for the first time since 2016, all right? So this is either the greatest buying opportunity or it's an area to be, you know, watching very carefully and, you know, make sure you're protecting your portfolio in a sense, or you know, you're watching your portfolios very carefully because this is a very important point. So,
So Monday could be extremely interesting.
Could be interesting,
or it could be a non-event. Friday it was way above it, or not way, but it was above it, and then the 315 time seems to be the
technically too. You're in a retest of that bottom you made about a week ago.
Yep.
You know. So you have your first rally up, you go back down, do some kind of retest. So very important. Anyway, right now we're at the end of the show. We always say keep a little powder dry. Do your own research. Till next week, take care.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.